Christ the symphony. He lights every star that makes our darkness bright. He keeps watch all through each long and lonely night. He still finds the time to hear a child's first prayer. Sinner call and always find him there, though it makes him sad to see the way we live. He'll always say, I forgive. He can grant a wish or make a dream come true. Beyond the bend, he can touch a tree and turn the leaves to gold. He knows every lie that you and I have told, though it makes him sad to see the way we live. He'll always say, God's chosen king and will reign supreme. He alone fulfills Israel's promised dream. He is coming soon and will cover earth. He will calm all fears and fill men's hearts with soul, and he my bridegroom be. I am his and he is mine and he loves me. Though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he'll always say,
wonderful things that God can and will do. All right, another duet. Yeah.
Care and comfort It's all in the name of Jesus. Welcome, pardon, hiding place. It's all in the name of Jesus. Warmth and sunshine, friendship true, fulfillment and blessing untold. Hope for tomorrow and help for today. It's all in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, He's here and He will show. You need for today. Truth and beauty, happiness, it's all in the name of Jesus. Health and heaven, peace and rest, it's all in the name of Jesus. Joy and gladness, forgiveness too, life everlasting and free. All that I've longed for and all that I need, it's all in the name of Jesus. He will show you the way. Jesus, Jesus, He's all that you need for today.
And we are going to see a little bit more about that wonderful name of Jesus as we continue these messages on the name of the Lord. Let us turn to Psalm 20. Psalm 20. Well, I'm sorry, I changed my notes. Let's turn to Isaiah 50 before we go to Psalm 20. Isaiah 50. Verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And so we are going to speak again on proclaiming the name of the Lord. And today our subject is trust. As we see here in this verse, let him trust in the name of the Lord. You will notice that Isaiah begins here with an attitude on our part as we would trust the Lord. And so as he said, who is among you that fears the Lord? We have seen again and again that fearing the Lord does not mean being afraid of God, as so many try to put forth today. Fearing the Lord is simply a matter of submission unto him. It is giving him that reverential fear and respect that he so deserves and that we must comply with in our own experience. And then you will notice, it is for the one that obeys the voice of his servant. His servant is the one who is declaring the word of God. And so the one whose heart is ready to trust the Lord is the person who has such high regard, who obeys the voice of the Lord, who obeys the word of God, who has that high esteem for God's word, willing to take heed to that message. Then this next phrase seems to be a little bit out of place here. That walks in darkness and has no light? Yes, it is exactly where it should be. Because you see, when we first come to the Lord, that's all we know is walking in darkness. We're not in light. And yet, if we have that attitude of submission unto the Lord, of being willing to obey the Word of God, this is for us. God will turn that around, and indeed He will lead us into His paths of righteousness and light. It works for people who are already Christians and may have gone aside for some particular time, some particular reason where they've walked away from the light that they knew, walked in the darkness that is there. This message of divine grace is still for them. If men simply have that attitude of submitting or fearing the Lord, obeying His voice, God will do wonderful things. And so we read here in the latter part of this verse, let him then trust in the name of the Lord. Let him believe God. Let him call on the name of the Lord and trust Him. As we read here, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Remain faithful, depending absolutely upon Him. Now let us turn back to Psalm 20. Because we read somewhat the same message, only David is very detailed in considering the name of the Lord. We will begin here in verse 7. Some trust in chariots, and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Every one of us were at this place, and sometimes we continue to be at that place in our everyday lives. Some trust in chariots. It means the ingenious ways of man. It means according to the wonderful thoughts and the mindset of man and the products that he is able to come up. In this case, it was chariots. It is men who designed them. It is men who implemented these things. And sometimes men simply trust in those weapons in order to fight their battle. Some trust in chariots. And then some trust in horses. Horses has long been a standard, a symbol of natural strength. And men oftentimes trust in that natural ability and strength that they have. Horses also speak of the speed which men have. And there's so many times in the lives of men, they don't want to wait for anybody. And so they jump in and do things according to their own will, their own purpose, their own strength and their power. So some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But then you will notice, but this indicates that there is a change here. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Remembering that name means that we simply recognize that name. We recognize that name. It tells us of an implication of having confidence and trust and protection in the name of the Lord. This is the context in which it's using here. You can either trust in horses and chariots, or you can recognize, trust, in the name of the Lord our God. There is a great reason, a number of them, as to why David wrote this verse. Some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. There are reasons for that, and David spells them out beginning with verse 1 of this psalm. It is actually a prayer. And so we read in verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. We can all identify with the day of trouble. And that, of course, is when many people call on the name of the Lord, is when they are in trouble. But he says here, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Now, that word defend, it means to be safe. It means inaccessible. It signifies a high and lofty place where the enemy cannot get to. And that's exactly what God has said in our own lives. That is where he has put us, in a place of security and safety. And so we read here that the Lord will defend thee. But these next few verses tell us just how he's going to do that. They give us some specifics as to what the name of the Lord will actually do. Number one, you will notice as we read here, send thee help from the sanctuary. And so we find that this help indeed comes from the sanctuary. The sanctuary is simply another expression. It is the location of the throne of grace. This is God's domain. We have entered God's domain. We read in the New Testament, Hebrews 4, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let's come to God's sanctuary, and we have the assurance he will send help. It is God who will answer us when we come, as we find in verse 1, in the name of the Lord. This is a part of his defense of us, indeed, in the name of the Lord. Verse 6 tells us also the same thing, that he will hear from his holy heaven. I love the words of Solomon as he prayed that prayer when he dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles 6. And hearken therefore unto the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Notice, hear from thy dwelling place, God's dwelling place in heaven, God's sanctuary. Hear from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. The name of the Lord invokes this kind of treatment from the Lord. Number two, he will strengthen thee. And we find today that the very strength that we have indeed comes from him. We are strengthened because of the name of the Lord. That's exactly the same pattern that the Apostle Paul found. As he said, when I am weak, then am I strong. You see, these weak ones, once again, are those who are surrendered unto the Lord. They are the ones who fear the Lord. We read in another place, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The name of the Lord is what provides that strength that we have, so he will strengthen thee. Notice again, verse 3. We come in the name of the Lord, and he recognizes and he accepts true worship. All men who proclaim to worship God today don't actually do it. John 4, Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews. If a man does not recognize Jesus Christ, he does not worship God. Salvation, there's no other way to be saved outside of Jesus. We must come in that name. And when we do, salvation is of the Jews. Then Jesus went on to say that he must worship him in spirit and in truth. We have seen it over and over again. As the power of the Holy Ghost comes into our lives, the very Spirit of Christ prevails in our lives. And then there is truth. It is to the degree that we understand and know truth that we are able to worship him. People sometimes worship on a very shallow basis because they don't know the depths of God's word. They don't know truth. But God will teach us that truth, and he will accept us indeed once again in the name of the Lord. Number four is in verse 4. The name of the Lord grant thee. And this is the same message we had last week. John 14, 13, Jesus said it this way, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It's the name of the Lord. We discussed what that meant of coming in the name of the Lord. It's not just an appendage to a prayer. It's rather an attitude whereby we come to Him. When we do, then the Lord grant you that purpose. The Lord grant you that counsel, as we find here. Number five is salvation. You will notice, verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation. We saw early on in these messages, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way to be saved outside of the name of Jesus. Men can try all sorts of activities of charitable giving, contributions, good works, and all of these things. It means nothing if they have not discovered salvation in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way to be saved. And so it is the name of the Lord that grants salvation. Now, we have seen again and again that this goes far beyond initial salvation. When he says saved, it doesn't just mean being saved from the guilt of our sins. There are many deliverances that you and I will need in this world and that we experience in this world. The pattern is always the same. It is salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus. He is the one who is responsible for such deliverance. And so we come to number six along with, or in addition to this salvation, so to speak, and we find out, indeed, we will rejoice in thy salvation in verse 5, and in the name of our God, we continue to emphasize, the psalmist continues to emphasize, in the name of our God, the name of the Lord, we will set up our banners. The banner is an expression of victory over an enemy. It's simply a flag. And we find that when men conquer another nation, that's the first thing they do is set up their banner, set up their flag. We have conquered. This is exactly what we do in our lives. And we conquer in so many ways. God would have us indeed conquer every part of the flesh. We are to conquer sin. We are to conquer the world in all of these things. We are to conquer Satan, and indeed we do. The flag, the banner of that is once again the Lord Jesus Christ himself, all in the name of the Lord. Then we come to number 7 in verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. Here is where we understand. We are the anointed of the Lord. We are the one whom he has chosen and anointed for his purposes. And we have said over and over and over again, God has anointed, or God indeed has chosen every member of the body of Christ for a purpose. There are no useless members. They are all anointed for some particular ministry or purpose. And so what? We read, the Lord saveth his anointed. And he will indeed give us that victory, as we find here, that salvation in all ways. And then you will notice once again, as we saw earlier, he will hear from his holy heaven. But you will notice it's not just hearing. It's not just knowing what is going on, not just mindful of us. But notice what he says here. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. The right hand of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is when we discover the power of that name as he makes Christ the center fold, the centerpiece of my life. The Apostle Paul said it this way, I am, or I have been, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the strength that God is sending into our lives. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The right hand of God, Christ Jesus himself, is the one who has come to rule and to reign in my life. He is actually reliving his life again in me. If I only give him the permission to do it, if I only let him rule my life indeed as he wants to do. And so we find that we are indeed the anointed. He'll hear from his holy heaven. And then with the saving strength of his right hand, Christ, he will be injected, literally injected into my life. This is what God is wanting for us. And so after all of these eight specific reasons, all of these eight specific things that coming in the name of the Lord, trusting in the name of the Lord, all of this supplies, then we read the psalmist said, some trust in chariots and some in horses. We'll remember the name of the Lord our God. Of course we will remember the name of the Lord our God because of these reasons. He has such benefits for us if we simply come to him claiming that glorious name. Then you will notice the last two verses give us a direct contrast of what happens to the one who trusts in horses and chariots as opposed to the one who remembers the name of the Lord. They are brought down and fallen. And any person who trusts in horses and chariots, I guarantee you, they are fallen down. They're brought down and fallen, but we, he means those who will remember and call on the name of the Lord, those who will trust in the name of the Lord, we are risen and stand upright. And this is what God gives to us. Things may be going so very badly in so many different directions. We have commented so many times recently on all the various things that so many of God's people are dealing with today. Some are dealing with troubles in body. There are others who are dealing with relationships or pain that has been caused by other people. It doesn't make any difference what the difficulty might be. We can still be upright and victorious in spirit. And this is what God gives to us. In the name of the Lord, we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. The King here is Christ himself. Let him hear. We come in the name of the Lord. And about three times in this psalm, we are guaranteed that he will indeed hear us. I want to close with a verse in the book of Zephaniah. That little book is about four books from the end of the Old Testament. So if you want to find Malachi and turn back, then that will work. Zephaniah, a wonderful verse here. Zephaniah 3:12. It's page 1018 in my Bible. And the next book is Haggai. Zephaniah 3 and verse 12. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. He is speaking here of Israel and the end time when the nation of Israel will be so rebellious and so independent. The majority of this nation making that covenant with the Antichrist that we find in Daniel 9:27. But God says, I will also leave in the midst of thee, in the midst of Israel. We have seen it over and over again down through the scripture. I don't care how much spiritual declension there has been in Israel. God has always had a remnant. We can say the same thing for this nation. I don't care how far this nation has strayed from God and given in to the things of the world, denied the Lord and His Word, God still has a remnant in the midst of them. And so here we read, I'll leave in the midst of thee. Who are they? An afflicted and poor people. This is the same message that we read from Isaiah. It is those people that really are submitted unto the Lord. They fear the Lord. They obey the word. It's the same attitude. They are afflicted. They are not afraid to admit that they are a needy and afflicted people. This is what brings us to Him. This is what separates us apart from all the rest of the world. We are a needy people, and we know it, and we bow to it, and we claim it, and believe God for the strength to rise above it. And so we read that I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. That doesn't mean not having any money. We are talking about poor in attitude, poor enough to surrender everything that we have and everything that we are unto the Lord. That's the poor that God will bless. This is the poor. This is the afflicted. Notice, they shall trust in the name of the Lord. It depends on our condition of heart whether we are going to trust in the Lord or whether we are not. The beauty of all of this is God will actually lead us through experiences in order to produce these characteristics of being afflicted and poor and needy and fearing the Lord and calling upon His name because of His word. It is God who is so gracious in guiding our experience to lead us into that place. The only thing we need to do, simply surrender unto Him and find the glorious power and the victory of the name of the Lord.